We're talking 3rd District Congressman Frank Lucas. Congressman, interesting conversation that you had, I believe it was on C-SPAN, in regards to our space program and how there's relationships back to the environment and to agriculture. Talk to us about that.
Ron, in my role as ranking member on the Science Committee, we're involved with everything that involves moving technology forward, weather forecasting, the National Science Foundation, NASA. So it's a broad set of subject matter. And a lot of folks will say, well, why does that matter in Oklahoma? Why does that matter on the farm? When I talk about the space program, everyone might think about the computers. They may think about the satellites that provide TV and radio. They may think about all those things. But there's so many practical applications. I was 9 years old when they landed on the moon 50 years ago this month. The world has changed so much. Think about the satellite technology that's applied by both the United States government and other foreign governments. Think about entities like Google. Literally, you can go on a screen. Sometimes you have to have a subscription, sometimes not, depending on the information. You can determine soil conditions around the world, not just in Oklahoma. You can determine moisture content around the world, not just in Oklahoma. You can look at the pest issues and around the world. You can look at the quality of a crop. Literally, we have the ability now to look and gauge the world food supply. And 50 years ago, were we going to have enough wheat? Were we going to raise enough corn? Were we going to produce enough livestock because of pasture conditions? It was a hit or miss deal. It makes a huge difference. And those same qualities, don't forget, it doesn't matter what color your tractor is. If you've got a state-of-the-art tractor, you climb in that cab, you've got your field programmed, you flip all the switches, it drives itself, it puts down the appropriate amount of fertilizer or pesticides or herbicides based on literally foot-by-foot differences in your field. It records your fuel use. It records everything. All those technologies in production agriculture are a reflection of things that go back to things like the space program, the creation of the integrated circuits for Apollo and Gemini. It all fits together. So being a part of what I like to define as the fun committee, and you know I'm an Aggie to the core, you know I'm a farmer by heart, you know I have a degree in agricultural economics from Oklahoma State University, you know Linda chases cows every day back home, but the fact of the matter is the science committee's fun because of the technologies that we have and we're pushing forward. Part of my responsibility is to make sure NOAA, the National Weather Service, has the tools, the ability to not just use the information we have now, but to enhance and improve that. Sometimes folks roll their eyes when I talk about all the extra sensors we need on ground and in the air and in space, and I remind them, I don't care whether you're talking about the weather 10,000 years from now or you're talking about the weather 10 hours from now. The more data we have, the better computers we have, the better ability we have to project not just a tornado or a hailstorm, but what's the weather pattern going to be later this summer, next fall, next year, the year after. It all fits together. So it's a fun committee. I'm always an Aggie. I love my core subject matter, but this is a fun committee too.
Of course, precision agriculture is what you really are talking about.
And not too many years ago when there was a discussion about which part of the broadband would be allocated in what way, there was a potential to, in effect, knock a lot of that technology off. And we in the committee, and we're still aggressively working to that, is to try and protect the access, whether it's Aggies or other folks, have right now to the present resources.
I guess what your rural constituents, not just farmers, ranchers, but everybody out in rural America needs access to broadband, access to what you're really talking about.
Yesterday, I conducted a roundtable, and I had my science committee chairman, Eddie Bernice Johnson from Houston with me, and a number of other members with me. And basically, we were discussing STEM education, science, technology, engineering, mechanics. How do you make sure that that's not just something that's available in the urban setting, but how do you make it available in the rural areas? And the comments came back from the panel. Again, it was a roundtable, so it was a free-flowing discussion. If you don't have access to the Internet, if you don't have broadband, you don't have the ability to move your information, how do you expect a young person to, in this day and time, to be able to do their homework? How do you expect to be able to stimulate their perspective, their attitudes in such a way that they would want to pursue this on down the road? And for that matter, how do you do business anywhere in the world if you can't reach out to the through the global web to touch all the things. I mean, farmers need to know what the commodity markets are trading for instantaneously. We all need to know what's going on in the political realm, trade, tariffs, that sort of stuff around the planet. So, but how to get there and get there in a way that we all have fair access to it. Because you and I both know the younger generation, that's not to say that you and I are the old guys, Ron, but the younger generation has expectations that all this will be available. And if it's not, they're not going to live in the community. And these best and brightest, we need them in rural America. We need them in rural Oklahoma just as bad as the rest of the country wants them.